Nice. Now then. You know, I never get applause like that when I finish. And that was a lovely receipt. It's nice to get a warm hand on your opening. And, you know, did you see the news at tea time? Australian scientists have discovered a foodstuff that lowers the sex drive in men. It's called wedding cake. Right now. Now then, I've come all the way from Blackpool today, so that'll give you some idea how popular I'm up there. And it was busy on the M6, I got stuck in the asylum seekers lane. And you know, you're not supposed to use your mobile phone when you're driving in. And there's a woman in front of me, blabbing away on her mobile, one hand on the steering wheel. Well, she swerved in front of me. I had to brake that hard, I dropped my razor into my cornflakes, you know. Now, can you smell gas, or is it me, that? And... oh, that's me, that. And, my God, that'd break up a picket line, that. And, so the doorbell goes, and when this fella opens the door, there's a bloke stood there like that with a right big Bible in his hand. And he said, can I help you? The fella said, yes, I'm from Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, he said, come in. He went, what? He said, come in, have a seat. Would you like a tea or a coffee? He said, I'll have a coffee. He said, I've got some scones. Would you like some scones with strawberry jam and clotted cream? He said, that's very kind. So he come out of the kitchen and sat down. He put the tray down. He said to this fella, so, what's this Jehovah's Witnesses all about then? This fella said, I don't know. I've never got this far before. Hey. You know, I got a phone call from BT. They said, you've not paid your last phone bill. I said, don't worry about it. I've placed it in a queue. And, Now, I don't sell CDs or videos or anything like that. I've got some lovely homemade chutney. Now, I don't know if... because you realise as you're getting a bit older, don't you, that money's not everything in life, but it keeps you in touch with your children, doesn't it? And, three daughters we've got, and they infuriate me. They keep leaving the toilet seat down. And them kids have kept us together. Oh, I will, she won't take them, and I'm not having them. And Have you noticed these celebrities? They all call the kids barmy names, don't they? Like Tallulah Lilac and Betty Kitten and Clonker Ponker. And and I think David Beckham started this one. Their little boy, Brooklyn, he was conceived in Brooklyn in New York, so they call the kid in Brooklyn. Jude Law, I think his kid, he was conceived in India, so they call their kid India. Somebody else was conceived in Rome, and they call their kid Rome. And they think, this is new. We did this 30 years ago with two of our kids, Back Alley and Tabletop. You know, and... it's an absolute joke. So this fella's going through checkout in Tesco's, right? He's got one banana, one potato, one apple, one orange, small tin of beans and a small tin of peas. And the girl's pulling it through the till and she's going, beep, beep, beep. She said, I bet you live on your own, don't you, love? Beep, he said, that's very observant. Is that because I'm buying small quantities? She said, no, it's because you're an ugly bastard. She said, so... So this fellow was in doctor. He said, doctor, can you recommend anything for yellow teeth? He said, what about a brown tie? He said, now, you might find this difficult to take on board, you know, but when I was born, I was quite ugly. And I mean, ugly. Honest, my mother used to pull me pram and... she had morning sickness after I was born. And they had to put lamb chops round my neck so the dog would play with me, you know. I'll tell you how ugly I was. If I'd have stayed at Michael Jackson's ranch, I'd have had my own room. And... anyway. So anyway, the doorbell goes, and when this lady opens the door, two fellas are stood there in smart suits. They went, Mrs. Jackson? She said, yes. He went, C-I-D. She said, hello, Sid. She went, no. C-I-D, OK? Copper, in disguise. He said, now, I'm wasting some good stuff here. And he said, now, we've been called in by the local colliery. There's been a lot of petty thieving going off in the pit. We've been asked by the management to call round at miners' homes on spec and try and recover this gear. Is your husband in? Well, she said, he's in, but he's right down the bottom of the garden, pottering about in his hut. This copper said, have you noticed strange things in the house? Donkey jackets in polythene bags, maybe miners' boots in boxes. Boxes of batteries, miners' lamps, anything of this. She said, excuse me, 27 years he's worked down that pit and he'd do nothing like that. That's my husband you're maligning. Oh, he said, please don't get upset, madam. We have to ask personal questions. Anyway, if you don't mind, love, we'll have a walk down the garden and speak to your husband. Oh, she said, don't walk down, go on the conveyor belt. I'll just put my Dorothy bag over there. And I don't like coming on my own, so I'll bring that on. And I know it's insecurity, but that looks better than sucking a blanket on the stage, doesn't it? And, do you know there's a knock at the door? Why does the dog always think it's for him? And you know, many years ago, I was in the Territorial Army and once came down to Wiltshire for manoeuvres, and after the do, the sergeant major said, I want you in my office immediately after the parade. So I went in, he said to me, now then, I didn't see you at camouflage class this morning. I said, thank you, sir. Now. So the computer's broken on the aeroplane. All systems have gone down. There's nothing working except the tannoy and the strip lighting, and the captain clicks on... Ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem with the plane. I'm going to land it in the sea in about 40 minutes' time. We're highly trained. You'll all get down safely, no threat to life or limb. But when I give you the command, you must assume the emergency position and put your head between your legs. I thought, if I could do that, I'd never go out the house. And am I on my own? I think not. And I shall be back to give you final instructions. And they clicked off. And this beautiful woman jumped up in the plane. She took her dress off. And she stood there in her underwear. She said, come on, somebody, make me feel like a real woman. And this Yorkshire man stood up and took his shirt off. She said, here, I earned that. He went... Now... Ladies, don't leave here thinking I'm a chauvinistic. But, it's an opposite. We're different, aren't we, men and women? It's as simple as that, really. Same world, different planet. And but but you ladies are blooming good laughers in here tonight. I know it's been a rotten drying day as well, hasn't it? And I'd never cheat with another woman because I really love my house. And So these two Irish lads are on safari in Kenya and they stop the Range Rover in the jungle and get off it. And there's a lion fast asleep like that. So Mick runs up behind the lion and kicks it in the ghoulies. He said, come on, Paddy, run. Paddy said, I'm not running, I didn't kick it. He said, I'm not... Well, I'll tell you what. The thing is, can I just thank you for the order you're giving me? It's absolutely implacable order. Thank you. Thank you very, very seldom. And and one thing you must always remember, you know, that wherever you go in life, well, there you are. And and if you're ever in Liverpool, never buy a Rolex watch off a man who's out of breath. Right now. John. The funny them scousers, like the police pull this scouse lad for speeding, and when the copper opens the door, the scouser's punching his Alsatian on the nose. Bosh. Copper went, oi, I was booking you for speeding. I am now booking you for speeding and cruelty to animals. The scouser said, well, if he'd done to you what he's just done to me, you'd have punched him as well. He said, why, what's he just done? He said, he's eaten me tax disc. And he... Well, fella said to me yesterday, "You're putting some weight on, Johnny." I said, "I know, I've had a lot on my plate recently." I'm on the Fatkins diet, and sickening, my skin don't fit me anymore. And I had my shoes shined in London, and I had to take his word for it. And hey, I'm coming round a bit now. And I've been in Blackpool for a few days. We were windy there the other day. My God, windy! I saw these Siamese twins looking for each other. And but I've had a real hard couple of days. I went out for a drink with Frank Carson the other night, and now he needs a check-up from the neck up. And Frank Carson, great comic, Frank. You ask him. And anyway. So I went to the cemetery to put some flowers on his act, and anyway, we went to this pub in Blackpool. It's called the Flying Handbag. Right now. Anyway, we've been in about an hour and the door opened and this lad walked in. I've never seen anything. He was a punk. This side of his hair, bright, shocking pink. This side of his hair, fluorescent lime green. And he had this bloody big purple Mohican, like that. And I was just looking at him and he turned on me and said, "What are you looking at, fatty? Have you got a problem?" I said, "Problem I haven't." I said, "A curiosity I have." I said, I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 21. Why? Oh," I said, "would you believe that? I said, 21 years ago, I said, I had sex with a parrot and I think I might be your dad." Do you know, it's a worry. I hope I'm not going incompetent at my age, though, because, well, I've read so much about the evils of drinking, I've decided to give up reading. And, anyway, I just got back to sleep. Then she, my wife, starts poking me in the back with a hairbrush handle, saying, "See how you like it." And I know, but I had to take my auntie to hospital. So I'm just coming out of a casualty like that. And I looked in the cubicle and there's a lad there I went to school with. I said, "Arthur, how are you doing?" He said, "I'm not very well." I said, "Why, what's wrong?" He said, "They've just told me I've got the worst case of piles that they've ever seen." I said, "Arthur, that must be uncomfortable." I said, "Is that why you're sat on a beanbag?" He said, "I am not sat on a beanbag," he said. Hey. Can you remember that game we used to play when we were kids, knocking on doors and running away? Remember that, eh? Hey, they still do that today, though, but they call it parcel force. Right now, but what a fantastic venue. What a lovely atmosphere here. Hey, keep supporting it. And have a good drink. That's my philosophy. Even if you're driving, have a drink. Meet the police with confidence, eh? Have you ever had that when you're going home from a do like this? You're just driving on. All of a sudden you get the blue light flashing in your mirror and you look in your mirror and it says, "Echilop." Nothing like that. One of nature's finest laxatives, that, isn't it? Because I'll be very honest with you, ladies and giblets. I was in London a few weeks ago and I went to a gay club to lobby my MP. And now, New Labour, they're like a bunch of bananas. There's hardly a straight one among them, is there? And, well, I'll be honest, I saw Tony Blair a bit since. Do you remember he was on a state visit to Great Britain? And he came up to Yorkshire to close a new hospital. And they've got that in a shambles, haven't they? NHS, no hope of surgery, eh? Poor nurse, you know, casualty, you wait for hours, I mean casualty of the week. And the bloke next to me were getting treated for musket wounds. And the nurse come out, "Is there Samuel Pepys in here?" She said, "No." Tony Blair, there's a man whose judgment you can't trust, right? Tony Blair's a man who once looked across a crowded room at Cherie and said, my God, she's lovely. Eh? Eh? Have you seen the gob on her, eh? It looked like she'd been ducking for apples in a chip pan, does it? Now, having said that, because that was me talking, they've got a new leader, the Conservatives, Michael Howard, and that shocked me. I thought that Ann Widdecombe looked like a winner, and Derby winner, and have you seen the state of her? I bet she has to blindfold a vibrator, don't you? Anyway. Live and let live, eh? You live and you learn and then you die and forget it all, don't you? And, so this fella gets into bed with his wife and he puts his hand down there. She said, you can bloody stop that before you start. She said, I've had a bath. Yeah. 10 o'clock in the morning, I have an appointment with a gynecologist. I'm having no messing about tonight. So a few minutes later, he gave her a nudge. He said, you've not got a dental appointment, have you? And... My father told me, never raise your hand to a woman. He said it leaves your groin exposed. And, so, I'm in the chemist shop the other day. I said, can I have some of them Viagra tablets, please? He said, have you got a prescription for me, doctor? I said, no, but I've got a photograph of my wife. I said, I'm running. This is my second wife, but oh, my first wife died. She fell down a wishing well, and I know. I didn't know they worked either, and I'll never forget our wedding night. She was very nervous on wedding night. She said to me, "I've never done this with a man before." I said, "Well, this is where we differ." I said, "And I know, but the thing is, ladies and grow bags, when I met my wife, she was a secretary, right? Then she married me, and now she's a treasurer. And she budgets well. I mean, we do without lots of things that I don't need, you know. And I've started buying my clothes at these second shops I've found in Blackpool, right? Not second hand, no, seconds. They've got very, very slight imperfections in the garment. I bought a jacket the other week for £20, and the only thing I can find wrong with this jacket, right, one of the sleeves is a bit shorter than the other two. Now... I heard her telling a pal the other week that I don't surprise her like I did when we were younger. So last Friday, surprising her. I took her out for coffee and biscuits. It's the first time she's been a blood donor, but I think... My wife's just passed a driving test. Now, if the road turns when she does, it's a coincidence, right? But, but like she said, what's the point in having bumpers if you don't use them, you know? And I bought a little Nissan urinator, and, yeah, it's only for pissing about him, but it's nice. She said to me the other week, oi, well, she said, I fancy doing it in the back of a moving car. That's all right with me. She said, no, I want you to drive. She said, she can be a sarcastic pig with me. And in fact, I'll give you an example of her sarcasm, an IE or a EG, right now. 6 years, Catholic grammar school, right now. St. Cuthbert's in the closet. And now... Do you know, I realise now I didn't appreciate the finer things of going to a grammar school in the 1950s. You know, like being spanked by a middle-aged woman, you know. I know. Things I'm paying good money for in Blackpool, you know. Well, before she goes to bed at night, she always puts this stuff on her face. Oil of ugly. And, it's something like that. It's working anyway. What have they got? Anyway. Well, she'd finished with that. And she was just whiting her moustache out with the mess stuff, you know. Well, I was pleasant. I put my Etch-a-Sketch down like that and I made her a cup of decapitated coffee, you know. Well, she likes that. There's no head on it. And I said to her, Raquel, I said, yeah. What would you really, really like for your birthday? She said, widow's pension, please. You know you're getting boring in bed, don't you, when you're making love and you feel an ashtray in the middle of your back, don't you? We get into bed now, she said, I'll race you to sleep, she said. We haven't got much of a sex life. In fact, we just lie in bed and fart at each other when I think about it. And, we were in bed all last Sunday afternoon doing it plumber's position. Right? Yeah, they call it the plumber because you stop in all day and nobody comes. And hey-o. If this job was as good as this every night, I wouldn't mind doing it. And because when you have a bad night as a comic, it's fright. You know, the abuse you get from a crowd could terrify you, especially if you're like me and you can't fight and you can't run, you know. And audiences never give abuse to singing. Big stars don't get heckled. I mean, can you remember that Pavarotti in Hyde Park? 250,000 people. And he stood there, Pavarotti went, I shall now sing from the World Cup, Nessun Dorma. Nobody shouted out, we've heard it, you fat pig, you know. Sing us one we don't know. I get that. And I'll tell you something else, ladies and genitals. I'll tell you something else. It's Pavarotti, what a prima donna he is, eh? Prima donna. I went to see him in Sheffield and, ooh, he doesn't like you joining in. Ooh. You know, you know, I do a lot of work these days for hospitals, and well, I make people sick. And I've actually developed a morbid interest in medical matters, right, because of the disease. You know, because I mean, I had this big bypass operation, and it were a big bypass. Oh, I swampy were outside protesting, right? And anyway. But I now get the British Medical Journal every month because I do the competition in it. And, yeah, spot the boil. And, anyway. I read an article in the hospital and it said, in a lifetime, the average man will only ever use one quarter of his brain. One quarter. So what do you do with the other quarter? Search me. I mean, we've got a wonderful medical... I mean, when you think they've cured smallpox, our medical's off the planet. TB, that was a very popular disease at one time, right? When you think that 99% of Robin Hood's men died of SIF. SIF. Yeah, it was a gag, I'm a comic. And so these two fellas are talking in the pub. One of them said, by this time tomorrow I'll be a happy bunny. He said, why? He said, me and the wife's got a cheap holiday off Teletext. 7 o'clock in the morning, we're off for a week, we're dropping everything. Spell said, oh, have a good time. He said, your wife's given up smoking, hasn't she now? He said, oh, I will never smoke cigs ever again. He said, would you mind bringing some back for me? He said, no problem, how many? He said, would you bring me 400? He said, of course I will. So the following Thursday's in the pub, he said, I've got your cigarettes, Albert. He says, fantastic, how much do I owe you? He said, £95. He said, £95? He said, where did you go for your holidays? He said, Torquay. So this fella picks the phone up and this voice went, hello, is that 777-7777? He said, yeah. He said, would you ring 999 and tell them I've got my fingers stuck in 7? He went... So, So this fellow was in the doctor looking very agitated. Doctor said, "My God, you look really distraught." He said, "I'm in agony, sir, agony." He said, "And where does it hurt exactly?" He said, "Everywhere. Every inch of my body hurts, no matter where I touch myself." He said, "Show me what you mean." He said, "Look, watch, doctor." He touched the back of his knee, went, "Ooh, yeah." He pushed his tummy. The doctor said, "Paddy." He said, "What?" He said, "You've got a broken finger." Hey. What a grand crowd, eh? Why can't life be like this? No, I mean, you know, this job, can I just say, it does educate you. I mean, when I left school, I couldn't spell entertainer, and now I are one. And, no, when I say educate, I've got a brother at Manchester University. Well, he's in a bottle in the biology department. Because I'm a Yorkshire man, bread and butter. And, now, although I am from Yorkshire, if I do the clubs around Wigan and places like that, a lot of people seem to think I'm from Kent. And, they don't. I've heard them saying it when I walk past the tables, you know. Now, you probably won't know this, but Yorkshire people can actually be quite careful with money. And, careful. There's a pub I go in Halifax, and every week they have a happy minute. Right now, there's two farmers going my local there, right? Pair of thick heads. And the landlady said the other week, "Do you like Scampi?" "Oh," he said, "I like all Walt Disney's films. I like them all." They own a prize bull, and they take it all over Yorkshire, servicing cattle, you know, servicing. And, thank you, sir. And the bull's had a man's problem, like brewer's droop, and it hadn't been doing out. So I heard him talk. He said, "How did you go on with bull?" He said, "It were unbelievable. I got that vet from Leeds, and he gave me these tablets. I gave the bull 6 tablets in one afternoon, and the following morning he serviced 125 cattle." He said, "My God, what do they call them, tablets?" He said, "I don't know what they call them." He said, "But they taste like peppermint." He said... hey, and they do as well. And, I've never been any good at fettling me, and, so this old Jewish fella's driving home one night, and his car phone goes off. When he picks it up, it's his wife. She said, "Sally, where are you?" He said, "I'm on the M1 near Leeds." She said, "I thought you might be now. Be very, very careful. There's been a flash on the television. There's one man driving the wrong way down the motorway." He said, "How do you mean, one?" He said, "There's bloody hundreds of them." But what's gone wrong in our society? What kind of nutters have we bred? I mean, old people getting mugged, how despicable is this? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was born in the war and my father was never at home. He was a hand grenade instructor. And he used to come home on leave, he'd take the pin out of my nappy and throw me over the settee. But because of that, I mean, subsequently, I was brought up by my grandparents, and my grandma was a militant. She was one of the women who got the vote with Emily Plankhurst, right now. Yeah, she was a suffering get, one of them... Yeah. But my granddad was no help, he was dool alley, and, or as we say in Yorkshire, he was limp under the cap, right now. He wouldn't go in the bomb shelters when they were dropping bombs, my granddad. He'd sit there and say, "If it's got your name on it, it'll get you." Hey, if it's got your name on it. I mean, that didn't bother us, but our neighbours, Mr and Mrs Doodlebug. He never forgive them Germans, you know. They bombed his allotment and shelled all his peas, and... he were a nice man, my granddad. He died in his sleep at a Max Bygraves concert, and... my grandma said he was a model husband. She said, unfortunately, he wasn't a working model, but he was... Only ever had one job, my granddad. He was a ringer out for a one-arm window cleaner. And, my other granddad's still alive, by the way. He's 93, and he's a commode restorer, that's it. And, yeah, he collects antiques and he stains furniture, but he doesn't realise he's doing it. And but he, well, we call me Grandad Spider-Man, and no, he's not athletic, but he can't get out of the bath on his own. And so, how do they go when they go shopping? All for, I mean, I'm on the market the day, me and the wife, or as I call the wife, leader of the opposition, and we're on the market, and there were these two lads on the market. They were selling, listen to this, electric razors, £1.50 in a box. I thought, £1.50 electric razor, I'm having one of them. Now, look at this bloody thing. I'm going to go to... Hey? They're robbing dogs, aren't they? I don't know. So, you know, when you look back on your life, I look back on my life a lot because it flashes in front of my eyes when I'm dying. And, but... No, but seriously, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love going to the Cenotaph on Remembrance Day because they used to get the medals and the ribbons on, regimental ties. And my uncle was hilarious. It was my uncle hilarious. And, yeah, and my antibiotic. And, anyway. He'd had his knee blown off at Dunkirk and he'd had a right funny old tin leg. There was no knee bend. So when he walked with his stick, this leg went up in one lump like that, you know. And they were just chunting on. Germans were no good. French, he said, they all had sunburnt armpits. How dare they ban our beef? We ought to stop using their letters, didn't we? Anyway, so... So this day we're going to the Cenotaph, bloody leg, we're going up like that. And this old man came past with his medals on. He's got a worse leg than my uncle, dragging it behind him like that, the old fella. And as he went past, my uncle said to him, don't care, this fella says dog shit. He went, no, no, no. Laugh. I thought my pants would never dry, I didn't. So this travelling salesman checks in his hotel room, sits in the armchair, puts his case down. There's a visiting card by the phone. He picks up and it reads, Mobile Erotic Thai Masseurs, in brackets, will visit. Well, he thinks, why not? Dials him, little voice went, hello. He says, right, I'm at the Grand Hotel, room 106. I want you at 10 o'clock tonight. Suspenders, stockings, peekaboo bra. He said, I want handcuffs, whips, KY, jelly, poppers. He said, I want every kinky sex toy you've got. This voice went, press 9 for an outside line, sir. I don't know. You'll have heard an expression, blood is thicker than water. Well, I've got a brother-in-law, he's thicker than both, right? And he couldn't tell you which way a lift was going if he had two guesses. And he's knitting with one needle right now. Him and his pal have an allotment, and they were digging one day on the unearth three World War II hand grenades. His pal says, what are we going to do with these hand grenades? He said, well, put them in the wheelbarrow and we'll take them down to the police station and hand them in. His pal said, what if one of them goes off? He said, well, tell them we only found two. He went like that. I was going down the promenade in Blackpool and I said, hey, look at that dead seagull. He went, where? I can't see it. He went on Stars in the Rise and Matthew Kelly says, who are you going to be tonight, Tarquin? He said, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Glenn Miller. And he went through that smoke and we haven't seen him since. And well, I've got to say, this is a throw, but it's not like me to get a crowd like that nowadays. And honest, you've heard people say, I'm glad I'm not him. I'm him. And I got a letter from the Reader's Digest. It said, you have not been included in our latest draw. I went to a funeral last week and I caught the wreath. And never had any luck when I was a kid. Do you know, I've only been out with a tall girl once and I had to jack it in and that was it. And but many years ago, I had a blind date in Blackpool to meet this girl outside the Grand Theatre. So I stood there like that and this beautiful girl came up. I went, my God. I said, are you a model? She said, no, I'm full scale. And, well, what? I said, you are stunning. I said, I could live in your eyes. She said, you'd be at home. I've got a sty in one of them. She said, I said, are you Sharon? She said, are you Johnny? I said, yeah. She said, no, I'm not Sharon. No, no. You know, when I look around at couples on an evening like this, I feel a bit envious because I don't know how our marriage went wrong. And, hey, no, when we got married at first, we were very, very happy at first. Then, on the way back from the reception, the trouble started when I asked if I could be on the wedding photo, you know. Then I saw my mother-in-law pick the groom off the top of the cake and bite the head off it, right? But we had trouble consuming the marriage. That was a problem. And we couldn't consume, no. And, well, she suffers every month at that time of the month with tension, PVC, they call it. And as she's got older, it's got worse. And she might have to have that operation where they take everything away, the ex-directory. Now, anyway. We're to go and see the specialist at the hospital, Dr. Kilcoff, right? So I went down with the wife, to coin a phrase. And now, she went in on her own to see the doctor into his insulting room, on her own like that now. Yeah. Yeah. But when she came out, she was smiling. And I recognised her. I'd seen her do it before. And she said to me, useless. I said, yes, ecstasy. She said, the doctor says it's nervous depression and we have to improve our home life and I must have sex at least 7 times per week. I said, well, put me down for 2. I said, I was desperate. I paid £20 for a bottle of stuff that big. This stuff is supposed to help men in the downstairs department, right? Ground rhinoceros horn. Rhinoceros. I drank that and I was nutting Land Rovers. I got a stiff neck, I don't think I swallowed it quick enough, you know, but well, I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed every inch of this evening, and well, I was sat on the bed the other day doing my crossword puzzle, and my wife just come out of the bathroom like that. Well, all she had on was a bra and her pants, and she stood in front of the wardrobe mirror. She says to me, my chin's sagging, isn't it? I'm right, sagging, isn't it? She said, my boobs are sagging. She said, I've got a little pot belly and my legs aren't what they used to be. She said to me, can't you give me a compliment? I said, you've got very good eyesight, love. Flipping out. Because you don't know what you're going to anymore in this job, you know. I've got this agent, I had this agent, Crippin, and he'd book a West Indian steel band for a BNP party. And I got to booking the other week and I walked in. There were 350 women sat down and I was on with a male stripper and they had a speciality act on before me. He was a one-legged tap dancer, right now. Yeah, he had one leg, untap shoe, right? And he came on and he did knee up Mother Brown, right now. Didn't do it for long, but he... he went down well, he went... We all change as we get older, don't we? You know what my wife's got between her boobs nowadays to try and turn me on, eh? Her belly button. And, now, ladies, you've all met a man like this. You could be sat next to him tonight. He's going through the midlife crisis, the male menopause, right? And he's thinking about buying a mountain bike. He's dying his hair, sleeping on sunbed, you know, and... he just got his meat order in the butcher's and he's on his way out, he said to the young lass behind the counter, I bet you can't guess how old I am. She said, you're about 40, 41. He said, I'm 56. He said, look after yourself, a workout. He stood at the bus stop and this little old lady came next to him. She said, well, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to have to tell you, I am 75 years old today and when I get back to the sheltered accommodation, I'm having a party and I can't wait. He said, smashing, have a nice birthday, love. I bet you can't guess how old I am. She said, well, if you let me put my hand down the front of your pants, I'll tell you to the year. He said, go on then. She sticks her hand out. She's fumbling for about 5 minutes. She pulled her hand out. She said, you're 56. He went, my God, how did you guess that? She said, I was stood behind you in the butcher. She said... Well, thank you for your wonderful attention and keep supporting this magnificent club. Well, keep breathing. That's your first job, isn't it? Oh, bad breath is better than no bleeding breath. And, And we all get down from time to time, don't we? But if you ever, ever really get depressed and you think that nobody cares whether you're living or you're dead, just miss a couple of mortgage payments right now. So somebody tell me how this works. 25 years ago, I borrowed £27,000 to buy a house. I have not missed one mortgage payment in 25 years and I only owe £33,000 now. And... So this lad gets up one morning, he's long-term unemployed, his sister's wife. I'm not going to that job centre again, he said, I'm so depressed, I'm going to get my shotgun and go on the moors and peg a few things, get rid of this frustration. So he got his woolly hat, double-barrel shotgun, pocket full of cartridges. On his way out, he said to his wife, look, love, I know we're tight for money, but we keep our dignity. You stop at home, my love. You just do the cooking and the cleaning and the washing and the ironing and the gardening and the chopping and the painting and the decorating. Because I don't want my wife to work. He said, now... And he goes out of the house whistling with his shotgun. Well, he's whistling with his mouth, he's carrying... Anyway, she threw a wobble. She said, right, that's done it for me, you big-bellied brewer's boil. She said, that's done it for me, twonkhead. She said, if you're going out shooting, I'm going to get dressed up and go down the town on my own, trapping. Right, so... She put this dress on that she'd been saving that she bought at Pound Stretcher. And it was one of those dresses that you could see through, but you didn't really want to, you know, and... Anyway, she meets up with a team of young lads in the pub, you know, Tattoo Brigade. He's got I Love Sausage, Egg and Chips on it, you know. Sauce bottle with an arrow through it, you know. And his mate says, is she a virgin? He said, no, but she will be when I've done. Brain donor. And anyway, she said to this big lad, I'm on my own today. I've got some cans. You want to come back for a bit of a party, me and you, big boy? Well, they were back at the house in minutes, upstairs, on top of the bed, and they were going at it like an endangered species. All of a sudden, they hear keys in the door. She went, oh, my God, it's my husband. He's mentally said, he's got a shotgun. What are you going to do? He jumps out of bed and said, stay cool, stay cool. He said, I'll nip out your side door. She said, we haven't got one. He said, where would you like one? She said, I'm not stopping here. He gets on the window ledge. He's just got his pants around, his ankles, and the door's up. He's there with tough boots and woolly hat and double belt. This lad's got no clothes on, pants around his ankles, and he don't move. But he has to think quick, so he looks at her, but he said, right, missus, this is your last chance. If you don't pay this gas bill, I'm going to crap on your carpet. All right. So he just pulls the gun up level with this lad's amusement area here. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm just going to blow your wedding tackle off, lad. He said, you can't do that. That's not fair. Go on, then, I'll give you a chance. Give him a swing. Go on. He said, anyway, I've heard enough. Ooh, full barrel, point blank. Well, you've never seen a mess like it. They cleaned him up at the infirmary, right, and... Oh, there were more holes in it than a colander. Oh, his poor little prong, it rang in there like that. And the doctor said, I don't like the look of that. He said, I'm not keen on it myself, the doctor said. And it hurts, he said, oh, they do, he said. And I've only had aftershave on mine, lad, he said, but... Put me a sample of water in this jar, see if it'll function. So the lad's in agony, starting to go, and it's going, doo, 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 doo. Oh, it's worse than I thought. He said, sit down. I'm going to get an ambulance now, straight away, and you go see this friend of mine in Oakhampton. He said, he'll sort you out with them holes. He said, is he a plastic surgeon? Can he repair that? He said, no, he's not a surgeon. He said, he plays the flute. He said, but he'll show you how to hold it when you go for a pee. He said, hey, I don't know. Enjoy the rest of your evening, won't you? Because you know the worst crowd I've ever had in this job. My agent got me a booking in Blackpool 7 years ago at the Imperial Hotel in Blackpool during the last Conservative government conference. And I know nothing about politics, comrades. And but when they put me on, they were all dining. And it was all a la carte menu, you know, like a leg of liver and... These were posh people. I'll tell you how posh they were. My mate took a young lady home and he caught lobsters. Hey? We're talking posh, aren't we? Have you ever seen anybody fart in a hanky? And, But they made a giant mistake. They gave me free beer. Now, can you imagine giving a northerner free beer? I was drinking like a two-headed committee man on a brewery trip, right? And I stood up to go to bed, and I couldn't believe it. My legs weren't good. I just stood there like that. I looked like an MFI wardrobe. And fell into bed. Could I sleep? Not a flipping wing. They put a couple in the next room and the noise, not shouting, it was all bonky bonky. And, oh, nucky, nucky, push, push. And I'm lying wide awake thinking, up with this, I cannot put, you know. And all night. Every 10 minutes, the posh woman shouts out, I'm arriving. And well, I'm stood on the bed by now with my ear against the wall, right? And I felt like applauding. I did. It's hard to clap with one hand, isn't it? And oh, that's a nasty habit, that. But very popular. Now then, did you know it takes men with glasses on longer to do that? They keep having to let go and go. I knew a lad that did that all the time. He was a real polisher, this fella. And do you know his self-winding watch was up to September 2012? And I'm not lying. Look, it's still going there. And you've been an absolute dream. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm getting on my own nerves a bit now. Be nice to old people, won't you? And I'll see you all again sometime. Could you imagine this? Darby and Joan Club from Yorkshire, they go Christmas shopping in London and they end up in Soho. And they go in a big sex shop, these old girls. Well, she's 74, she said, I'm going to buy something from here and try and get that silly old sod going when I get home. He's 80. So she buys herself a pair of crotchless panties, right? She gets back home to Yorkshire and she puts these crotchless panties on. And she goes in the bedroom like that. She says to him, here, do you fancy some of this then? He said, I don't. He said, look what it's done to your knickers.